when I reached the border of Belarus, I was hauled off the train.
Mm-hmm.
A big burly officer just came up to me and just said, take all your things, you are coming with me.
Just you?
Only me.
Oh.
Out of all the trains. So like, you know, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Said, just come with me. He wasn't going to say anything, and with my passport in hand.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we have Nicholas from Real Travel Station.
Hi, Andrew.
And I was checking with you, like, should I be calling you Nicholas or Real Travel Station? Because that's what you call yourself on the blog.
That's right. I have not revealed my actual name on the blog yet.
Yeah, so yeah. This is the review podcast
for
Nicholas. I understand because some people still want to remain anonymous,
mm-hmm.
but you've written a lot about Real Travel, right? As the name suggests, right? Yes, Real Travel Station, right? So, and I was looking into it, and it's a whole new world, and there are names for it. I mean, of course, Railway Enthusiast will be pretty obvious, but you can also call yourself a real fan. Like, what other names are there?
It depends on different countries, actually, but most of the translation does relate back to a railway fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, of course, what people like about trains can be quite different. So, for example, for me, I like passenger trains because I like riding on them. So, freight trains may not be my forte, but of course, there's people who like certain specialties about trains, like subways, or intercity, you know, locomotive halt trains or bullet trains or cargo trains. So some people only like a specific section of that, which is totally fine. So although railway fan encompasses like all of us, the individuals may prefer whatever they like.
A certain type of train. And you mentioned you like passenger train.
Yeah. I like riding on them.
You like riding on them. I mean, is there a reason why different types of trains have different appeal for all these railway fans?
It could be based on geographical locations. Mm-hmm. You know, could also be based on what is available near their hometowns, or it could be also related to what they have encountered before.
Mm.
So, for example, if as a kid they have watched certain cartoons, that they like certain characters, thus relates when they grow older to whatever.
When I thought like this could be relatively niche,
yeah.
is that it can be divided further into sub niches as always, like all the different interest groups out there. And well, so if someone likes Singapore's MRT, is that a real fan also?
I would consider it
as R-A-I-L.
Yes, I would consider it as a real fan.
Right, because I've seen this.
Because there are certain groups in Singapore who does...
like the SMRT or SBS
trains,
that's
right, the MRTs only.
Only, right?
Yes,
they don't like any other. They specifically like this particular train.
That's correct.
Yeah, so passion takes you to different places.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's this concept of track bashing.
Mm-hmm.
Should you explain that?
Okay, so there's again two parts of track bashing. One is simply the line, which is what I would usually do because I tend to like taking the full length of the train service rather than breaking at the middle station, which could be more popular, but I feel that I have not completed the journey. The second part is, of course, as you mentioned, track bashing, which is to take every single track on the line. So, for example, you know, at the end of the line, like, for example, Pasir Ris.
Mm.
So you have the crossovers at the end where the train changes tracks. So simply going to Pasir Ris is not enough. You have to take the train back to Tampines and then you try to catch a train that goes to the other platform and then you cross over to catch another train across the track so that you take the full section of track that's available to you.
Also, there's very specific, you know, set of instructions that you have to follow, you know. to fully complete this track bashing.
That is correct, but the instructions tend to be what you give yourself.
Yeah, yeah. To have a sense of completion.
That's right.
It's like, dude, I want to finish this mission. This is my purpose today. And I take it from one end to the other and I take the way back. And of course, different trains and different, you know, paths and the different rails, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. So tell us your credentials, you know, in terms of like, you know, how many kilometers have you traveled? Like, how do you track? Like, what have you achieved?
Oh, well, personally, I don't track the number of kilometers I've traveled because it's probably going to be in the thousands or 10,000s.
Okay.
Nowadays, I take my train journeys about every once a week or once every 2 weeks. Mm. So, well, my longest trip I've ever taken was from London, well, technically Sheffield, since I started my journey there, back to Singapore.
Whoa, how long was that?
The whole journey took 40 days.
40 days?
Yes, and that is because I did not factor in very long stops in the major cities. So it was purely a train ride.
You travel alone, right?
I travel alone.
So you will be with other people. They are most likely on the same seats with you or near you?
The compartment seats 4 people, so 2 on the lower berth and 2 on the upper. Quite interesting people. Mm-hmm. I've even met one couple who's still quite a good friend of mine recently in Berlin. So even though the trip has been done quite a number of years ago, we still keep in contact. Mm. So that's quite nice. You can even make friends on this train. Yeah.
Taking trains, right?
Yeah.
For the uninitiated like myself, like we'll have heard of most likely the Trans-Siberian Railway. Yeah. And is it overrated, you think?
I think it's something that definitely an attraction to have a single train traveling through 3 countries. Russia, Mongolia and China in a single journey which takes 7 days. So you really get to know, well, it depends on how you look at it, how big or how small the world could be. With just a 7-day journey, time zone changes from a total different zone compared to Singapore, and then when you reach China, it's like suddenly everything is the same and you have no sleep debt or jet lag or whatsoever. The first 4 days of the journey was actually quite boring.
Because there's no scenery?
Yeah, the scenery was only birch trees. Birch trees after birch trees.
Birch and trees,
yeah. After that, when, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, when we reach Irkutsk, and then there's a Lake Baikal, the scenery gets much better from there. And that's because the hive of activities on the train get activated, because that's where all the immigration for Mongolia and China starts as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you see a lot of activity on the train itself.
That's right. Activities on and off. Yeah, so it's really convenient to travel across countries on board the train because the immigration officers come up on board. So you don't have to go down except for China, I believe. Other than that, when you see the technicalities of how they form up this international service, for me, I like this kind of thing, but I'm not sure for a normal passenger, but for a person who likes trains, yeah, this is definitely one of the bucket lists railway fans should do.
Because you've already enjoyed rail travel, and so for you, it's really exploring to see what other people do in different countries.
That's right. Yeah. The normal way to travel on the Trans-Siberian is to have at least one break in the middle, but I did not. I took the train end-to-end, like as what you mentioned about track bashing. So I wanted to take the full service.
All right, that's the mission you set out for yourself.
That's correct.
Okay, when you say take a break, you mean like get off the train and then do some sightseeing and then come back to complete the rest of the journey.
That's right.
Yeah, because, well, I think for many people, they are the first so-called long distance or multi-days kind of rail travel will be Trans-Siberian, like I said, because it's what we heard of and we want to try it out, right? It's a bucket list. But for you, you've already done so many other rail travel before that. It's just, you enjoyed it. I mean, of course.
I enjoyed it. And in fact, at the end of the 7 days, I thought the journey was too short.
Okay.
Because, for context, the journey is 7 days, but on the first day, the train actually departs at 11:45 p.m. So actually, the first day only lasts for 15 minutes. And then every day you cross one time zone. So actually you are living a 23-hour day. So it's like a very mini holiday every 6 hours. So time really passes quite fast. Like I even brought like notepads just to write about the journey in case there's no internet or, you know, the journey gets too boring. But I had no time to even take out the piece of paper.
Okay.
Yeah, because every hour there's something to take pictures of or to enjoy on the train, like, to have your meal, to speak with the conductors.
Yeah, so it's not boring. It's not like, oh, I'm on a train all the way, right?
Because no, you get to step off.
You get to step off.
Yeah.
Pick up bits and pieces of why you like rail travel so much. I mean, there's something to explore for you, but have you ever really asked yourself, hey, why do I like this thing so much? Yeah, why the passion for it?
Well, since ages ago, I believe, yeah. Since I was a child. But unfortunately, I really can't remember when I first started liking trains. I just liked them since the beginning. Well, of course, it definitely started from MRT rides.
Yeah, it's like I also can't understand why they like MRT so much. Yeah. But well, it's a passion. That's why it's called passion, right?
Yeah, but then it started to just continue naturally. So I got my toys. I got my longer train rides. The rides started to get further and further. I start to realize that the more trains that I take, the more I realize that how much I really don't know about it. So the craving is there to just want to know a lot more about the trains.
So different reasons, exploratory, that's one, making friends, seeing different sceneries, and seeing how things work differently in different places.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other joys of, you know, train travel, rail travel?
At least for the close by region, like for example, Singapore and Malaysia, the most important joy of rail travel is that the train has toilets. Okay. So that makes life a lot more easy when you travel in Malaysia because the buses do not have it. Yeah, so you really got to plan your...
Do you need your diapers?
You have to plan your consumption. Yeah.
You have to plan your consumption. Got to sip water.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas on the train, you know, there's like a buffet car which sells food and drinks in the middle, which is a total opposite. So you don't have to think about all these things. You just have to enjoy your journey.
So what do people usually misunderstand about rail travel?
Well, first and foremost, financially, they think that trains are always cheaper than flights.
Yeah.
This is probably affected by the Singaporeans' perception of like a rail pass. Because when you go to Japan, you go to Korea, you just, a rail pass, when you buy a pass, it's like the price of a return journey, so everything else is so-called free.
Yeah, and because transport is higher, relatively more expensive in Japan, and then, you get a rail pass to travel everywhere, right? Yeah.
That could work in those countries, but the scary part is when Singaporeans apply to this same logic to the EU rail pass.
Okay.
Because the rail passes do not include the seat. So you have to pay for the seat.
So the pass only allows you to get on.
Get on. Train. So and not all trains.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's many, many terms and conditions to fulfill to pay in addition to your pass.
So if I don't get a seat, I can't... What, I have to stand all the way? No way, right? So you have to get a seat.
You may be getting a non-reserved seat. Okay. So it means like first come, first serve.
Right.
Or if the train gets really crowded, then yes, you have to stand all the way.
Do you have to, you know, be a bit street smart on the train to make sure that you get seats for yourself, you know, you don't get bullied by other people, you know, because sometimes people want the benefits for themselves, right?
Well, for non-reserved seats, what definitely is to board early.
Right.
But certain countries' systems, like my experience when I was traveling from Nanning to Guangzhou, only standing seats were available. So all the seats were reserved, and then you just have to figure out where you should stand in the bullet train.
Is it very packed?
It wasn't like totally squeezy. Like there was still space to walk around, go to the cafe to buy food. It was not comfortable to be standing for 4 hours.
Yeah, you have to plan for it, right?
Yeah.
So one misunderstanding you mentioned is that rail passes are not necessarily cheaper, right? Give us a bit on the finances of rail travel as compared to like taking flights.
Well, for rail travel, definitely the first and foremost part about the fare is that there's almost no taxes. So the whatever you're seeing as the fare is what you're going to pay. Well, of course, there's limitations like the range of rail travel, whether is it better to be flying or better to be going by train. So generally the so-called radius of how rail travel is on par with air travel is about 1.5 hour flight. By the time you factor in the check-in times, your baggage reclaim, your travel to between the airport and the city, most of the time when the railway station is located in the city, so-called median time where the train travel time is the same as the air travel time.
Because you factor in, like I say, check-in and then getting your baggage on that's flights, correct. So it could take some time.
That's right. So exceeding this radius, that means if the flight is 2 hours or more, then your cost on top of financially will also be on your time. Whether are you willing to sacrifice a possibly lower fare to have a longer journey time, or would you pay the extra for a flight to get there quicker?
Are there some trips that you can think of off your mind that you think taking the rail will be recommended, whether in terms of cost, time, or even for the experience?
In the region, I can think of, if you're traveling from Singapore to Kota Bharu, it's much better and more comfortable to take a night train as compared to flying. Because there's no direct flight from... let me put that caveat, because... If this airline restarts the service, then flying may be better. So if you take a train from Johor Bahru to Kota Bahru, you get a good night's sleep and you reach there at noon, just in time for lunch. Whereas if you fly, you got to change planes in KL. So you have your hassle of checking in, your transit in KL, and then from Kota Bahru, you have to get your own transport to the city, which could be probably an 8-hour journey in total. But in the 8-hour journey, because the flights are so short, you're just going through procedures after procedures. And you realize that after 8 hours, you really don't achieve anything aside from getting to Kota Bahru. Whereas on the night train, you get to have dinner at the restaurant. You get to sleep on a proper bed. You wake up to a nice forest view in Kelantan. And then about noontime, you arrive in Kota Bahru just in time for lunch. So I think that's a good way to spend your time.
Yeah, I think for those of us who haven't been taking a lot of rail and trains, we might be afraid that it's boring, you have to rough it out, you know, it's going to take too long. But from your experiences that you're sharing so far, not necessarily so, right?
Not necessarily. Of course, there are some, which if you look for it, they are definitely there for you to rough it out. But if you want to travel comfortably, there's also such opportunities.
Yeah. And well, those who want to rough it out will naturally be attracted to that kind of travel, right?
Well, if you're looking to rough it out, then yes, there's definitely such experiences for you. For example, if you want to travel from Hat Yai to Bangkok for like 10 Singapore dollars, you can rough it out in third class and get to Bangkok for only $10.
Yeah, but it's $10.
Yes.
That's why.
So some people want that for the clickbait, you know. I've not actually. I've always taken the sleeper services, whether it's first or second class. No air conditioning for third class on an overnight train is a bit too much for me.
But that almost feels like an achievement that I have to put out on Instagram.
and it's a good YouTube video opportunity. It's how to travel to Bangkok for $10.
For $10, right. Any other routes do you want to recommend?
Railways are quite prevalent around Southeast Asia, so there's a lot of opportunities if you're Singaporean or Malaysian, if you like to travel. The trend is picking up in Malaysia, surprisingly, thanks to COVID-19, actually, because when the locals could not travel overseas, they start finding out that actually Malaysia has trains. Actually, people did not know that. So a very popular destination now is Dabung. So it's like a adventure place in the forest, in the middle of the jungle railway, which is very popular with Malaysians now. The train gets very full on every weekend and public holiday. If you're looking for a bit longer distance, of course, Jakarta-Surabaya. Something shorter would be Jakarta-Bandung, where the train travels around mountains and rivers through tea plantations. Very nice scenery. Journey takes about 3 hours. Not too long. That's for a good day trip. If you fly to Jakarta, it's a good day trip to Bandung, or if you can even stay overnight there. In Malaysia, of course, you can get a sleeper train to Kota Bahru. And if you're feeling more adventurous, you can take a series of trains from Woodlands to Bangkok, where all Singaporeans like to go.
Yeah, Woodlands, and then go all the way to Bangkok. What's your favorite one?
Wow, that's quite a difficult question, actually, because I love all of them. Yeah. If you're talking about the region, then my favorite is the night train from JB to Tumpat. That is traveling across the whole peninsula of Malaysia, but going by the East Coast, because that's the only night train available in Malaysia as of now. So if I'm looking for a long journey, but not too far away, that's the train that I would take. There's always something new to experience about every train ride.
Yeah, it sounds like it's got the best of everything that you already liked.
Yeah, and even though this train service is running every day, you know, when I take it every, 2 months or 3 months, the experience is always different. Whether there could be new scenery changes, new food available, or just the people you meet, really. Because definitely the passengers are not going to be the same every day.
So you take the same.
That's right, because it's very, well, for this train, it's very like community based.
Right.
Yeah, so because everyone's going back home to the kampungs, and the mindset there is really very simple and friendly. So naturally, the passengers are also very friendly on board. So there's like neighbors who will share food with you, will share stories, or just exchange what could you possibly do over there. And it's always great to hear about the destination from a local's perspective.
In your daily life, we don't really talk to strangers.
No,
right?
You don't talk to anyone on the MRT.
Of course, and on a train. Right? Yeah. In a different context, in a different scenario, like would you consider yourself introverted or extroverted?
I would say that I'm a little bit of both. I mean, I do enjoy my train rides in silence.
In silence, yeah.
But there's also this very special bit of community travel. Everyone is going to a similar destination. Everyone has sort of the same goal for that at least few hours. It really just brings about the friendliness in the local people.
Yeah, it's like all passerbys in your life.
That's right. Yeah.
But for the 7 days, you know, you're stuck with each other. Correct. And you might as well,
this is a really good experience that I'm having in Malaysia and Indonesia.
In terms of the people you meet.
Yes, that's right. The neighbors on board the train.
And then sharing food, like you were saying. You know,
yeah.
Like, yeah. So to pick a favorite would be difficult.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's right.
How about the toughest trip that you've done?
Toughest trip? I wouldn't say it's a trip per se, but it was part of my Trans-Siberian journey. So when I was traveling from Paris to Moscow, I had to cross Belarus. And at that time, I was very lucky to have a rail travel station up already. So I had one viewer who commented that, "Have you gotten your Belarus transit visa?" Which at that time, I did not know that I had to get it. So luckily, I had it settled beforehand in London before I embarked on the trip. But when I reached the border of Belarus, I was hauled off the train.
Mm-hmm.
A big burly officer just came up to me and just said, "Take all your things, you are coming with me."
Just you?
Only me.
Oh.
Out of all the trains. So like, you know, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Said, "Just come with me." He wasn't going to say anything, and with my passport in hand. We went down to the station, and at this point I was disappointed rather than worried, because I knew that the train was going to do some bogie change. Bogie means wheel. So they were going to change the wheels for the Russian broad gauge race. I wanted to see. Mm. And now that I'm going off the train, I could not see that. So that was my first part.
Yeah, that's right? The first thought.
Of sadness.
You know, and then, instead of worrying about your safety, I'm like, that's correct. Miss this thing.
Yeah. It just hit me like 5 seconds later that where is this guy taking me to with my passport in hand? Because Singapore passports can be quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the station. I heard the train depart off to the yard.
Okay.
I have my belongings with me.
Yeah.
So I asked him, "What's going on?" He said, "We just want to check your documents."
Mm.
I'm not sure what that meant. He only said this sentence.
Mm.
So I was made to wait in an empty waiting hall for 1.5 hours. I didn't know that it was going to be 1.5 hours. It was just going to be just waiting.
Yeah.
It was very worrying during the raid, definitely, because you have no idea what's going on. Nothing is in your control. I don't have my passport with me. Thankfully, I still had internet from Poland, so I quickly save all the MFA hotlines just in case my passport doesn't come back. 1.5 hours later, he came back with my passport and said, "Okay, come with me, you're going back to the train." Until today, I have no idea what the whole thing was, but it was nerve-wracking to be alone in a foreign country very far from you. And the most memorable thing was when they were trying to create small talk with me after that, because I was trying to figure out what was going on, and they wouldn't say anything besides check my documents. They asked me, like, "Why don't I speak Russian?" I don't learn Russian in Singapore. So, you know, typical Singaporean small talk. "Have you been to Singapore?" And then he said, "Yes, 10 times.
What? Okay.
The only thing he mentioned about that conversation was that your cigarettes are very expensive.
Okay.
And then the train arrived and I was free to board it. And then the neighbors on the train were like, "Where did you go?" I was like, "They brought me to their office."
Uh-huh.
I was in the waiting area. They asked me why. What did they bring? I have no idea until now.
Up till today, I have no idea what they did.
I have no idea what they did with my passport.
They said they want to check your documents and they had your passport in their hands.
I had all my visas, my Belarus and Russian visas already.
Whoa.
Yeah. The immigration form was filled out correctly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was hauled off the train without my passport.
Yeah, that's quite an experience. I feel the anxiety of being in a room. You're like, whoa, just waiting and just waiting.
At that age, it was, Yeah. Probably if I encounter the same thing, I might be more prepared. I might have called MFA immediately.
So like you said, you know, have MFA's contacts in hand.
Yep.
And of course, you mentioned about the visa. Obviously, you need to check beforehand.
I did check. It's just that I'm not sure why I was hauled off.
Being hauled off the train. Something that is outside of our control.
That's right. Yeah. So after the experience, before the experience, I've already done it. But after the experience, every simple trip that I make overseas, I always register with MFA, so this is not sponsored. Yeah, so register yourself with MFA, so they know where what whether you have gone missing or not.
Yeah, do it the right thing.
Yeah.
just go and register. Yes. Don't be lazy or like, just don't forget it.
Yeah, correct. So at least if you don't come back, then there's a record of you. Something might have gone wrong. Yeah.
We'll go to a lighter topic.
Okay.
Any pro tips? Any strategies about... Of course, it depends on which route you're taking, where you're traveling, right?
Yeah.
But is there a general, you know, some tips on like, where should I sit on a train?
How early
should I book? Any strategies for a smooth...
Okay, let's start with how early should you book? Because every country's terms are different. So you kind of really have to follow how they open their tickets. So for example, Thailand opens their tickets 30 days in advance. So 30 days in the morning, you start camping for tickets.
Yeah, because people are snatching the tickets.
People are snatching it, especially first class, because there's only one coach with 12 cabins for the entire journey. Actually, first class sells out very fast because they only need to sell 12 rooms. Whereas for Malaysia, for example, in July, they open tickets all the way to the end of this year. So you have a long window, but that's also a problem because the peak period for holidays and weekends are already sold out. If you try to book in December, they're already sold out in July.
Yeah,
so that's the second problem.
How early you have to plan, yeah.
That's correct. Check your destination and then check what's the company's terms about it. And for comfort-wise, personally, I like sitting in the middle of the coach because the wheels are at the end. When you sit towards the end, you feel more bumps on the track. Whereas if you sit in the middle, the bumps kind of spread out because the wheel pivots behind you. So you're in the middle. Mm. You don't feel so much shaking. This is especially useful for the night train. So if you have
a good night's sleep.
Yes, because you're lying down, you can actually feel the train bumping. Helps your sleep a little bit better.
Mm. I think we're more relatively familiar with taking planes. So when it comes to rail travel, you really need to do your research, plan in advance, which is why you provide all these resources on your site, Rail Travel Station.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to check it out. Sometimes you need to plan 6 months ahead. Right, in order to get the seats that you really want. If not, it'll be sold out. Not that you get bad seats. It's just sold out. You can't even get on.
That's right.
Really need to do your homework. Right? Oh, when's your next trip?
Okay, I'm not sure when this recording will be published. Yeah, but
today is 22nd September.
Ah, okay. Right. So my next trip from this interview, I'll be flying to Chiang Mai and I'll be catching the train back to Singapore.
Is this your first time doing this trip?
It's my first time doing it as a single trip. I've done all these journeys before, but this will be my first time just combining it all together with a bit of more free time at this moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're full-time on your site, Rail Travel Station?
For this period, yes.
For this period of time?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have three questions that we ask every guest. So the first one is, what has been your best investment? It need not be a financial one.
My best investment for this period, I think it will be this camera that I bought off from Carousel.
Carousel.
Yeah, not sponsored.
How much?
So I got this mirrorless Canon M10 for only $200. Second hand, but the condition was pretty good. And this camera was actually with me during my recent Europe trip. Actually, since the VTL period, I've been operating on this camera, which has lasted me quite long for a value of $200. And the quality is quite good. It's comparable to the previous DSLR that I operated on, which can be quite bulky, especially when I'm taking flights. And then, you know, the shutter sound and stuff. It gets annoying for other passengers. But this is really good. Very compact, very light. Yeah, I've been traveling with it almost every week now. So it's a very hardworking $200 mirrorless camera. Yeah.
Did you say the model again for, you know, fans?
It's I'm not sure if you can get it because it's Carousel. Yeah, so there's only one of these available, but it's a Canon M10. Not the latest model, but it does the job.
It works for you.
It works for me. Yeah.
That's the most important thing. Second question for you. What's something that is under $100 that you spend on that has been a game changer for you? Could be related to your travel or your personal life, whatever it is.
Again, not sponsored, but I operate my travels with actually Cabin Zero backpacks. These Cabin Zero backpacks are the exact cabin size. One is for the overhead compartment and one is for the under seat. So with these two bags, especially when flying airlines like Scoot, where you're allowed two bags, this actually maximizes every ml of your allowance that you're allowed to bring on board the flight, because the bag is the exact cabin size.
So you don't need to have check-in baggage.
Yep.
You
can just leave. I don't have to think about the size of my bag. I don't have to think about what to, as long as it can fit in the bag, it will fly.
Yeah.
So that takes difficulties on how to pack out of my mind before every trip that involves a flight. And of course, with the small bag, it's a lot more convenient for storage on board the train as well.
Because train travel is where you need to carry.
Yeah, you have to carry your own bag. Not all trains have the luggage rack by the door, only the new ones. But so you have to put it above you or under your seat. So same logic as a budget flight.
Yeah, and you can get it for less than $100.
Yeah,
not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
Okay, last question for you: a place that you learn from that you think is underrated. Could be book, website, blog, podcast. Could be related to travel, real travel, or just your personal development.
Well, I started my railway fan community at the KTM Railway Fan Club. Today it's known as Malayan Railway Fan Club. So with this community of like-minded individuals who like trains as well, and who especially like the trains that you like as well, so it's really where the knowledge sharing happened when I was first starting as a child. And from there on, when you meet these friends who may be working in the industry, and those of my age, my friends of my age, who are actually now in the railway industry. So the interest grows, knowledge grows, and we grow as a team. So Malayan Railway Fan Club.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew, for having me.